Right, I want to start off by asking you to think of two or three of your best memories, just kind of best moments in your life. What would those be? Everyone got a couple of them? Okay, for how many of you did either of those memories, or any of those memories, take place in a church building? Anyone? How many of you, for you, they took place in a church building and were not a wedding? Couple. Okay. I'm not chastising you, the rest of you, for that. My point is simply that our memories, our lives, happen in all kinds of different places. Some of you probably pictured homes where your memories took place, out in nature, around tables, on city streets, in parks, in restaurants, in your cars, all kinds of places where these memories take place. And the only common thread between these best moments in our lives are that we were there. That's the only common thread between them. Jesus, as we're going to talk about this morning, makes the gospel hit home. Jesus makes the gospel hit home. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that through a discussion that's going to have three different movements in it. We're going to have a question, a little caveat, and a thought experiment. And I think all of these are going to show how Jesus makes the gospel hit home with his disciples and with the people he's ministering to. And we start off with a question. The question is, where did Jesus do his ministry? Where did Jesus do ministry? And if we look at Mark 1, I think we get a great picture, a kind of a summary of Jesus and how he did ministry. It begins, the first place we see Jesus is out at the river being baptized by John. Then we see him out in the wilderness, his temptation. Then we see him on the seaside talking to the people in the boats, the fishermen. Then we see him in a synagogue. Then in some of his disciples' houses. Then out in the streets. And then he goes to a deserted place to pray. And then back from town to town. Jesus doesn't wait for people to come to him. He doesn't wait for people to come into the synagogues or the religious places. Jesus does ministry wherever people are. He makes the gospel hit home. He brings it to their homes. I did a rough study of Mark's gospel and tried to look at some of the different scenes where we find Jesus. And I found that there were 8 separate scenes that take place in a temple or in a synagogue, the religious places. Guess how many scenes take place in people's homes? 9. And for a gospel where over a third of it takes place in Jerusalem, when you would expect Jesus to be in the temple, I think that's kind of staggering. Jesus is depicted in the synagogues and in the temples and the religious places, and he's more often depicted in homes. And to be clear, there's no separation there in what he does for the ministry. The scenes in the temple and synagogue are not just the teaching scenes, and then the scenes in homes are the healing and the ministry scenes. He teaches in the synagogue, he teaches in the homes. He heals in the synagogue, and as we see here, he heals in the homes, in the home. He served in the synagogue, and I love this, when Simon and Andrew's mother is healed, it says, then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. Her first opportunity to serve Jesus was probably very literal. She was probably serving him some sort of meal. It happens in the home. Jesus taught where people were. As we talked about a few weeks ago, he got personal. And he didn't allow people to compartmentalize their faith, to say, my faith is located in a church building. The gospel is the message that through Jesus, our whole lives can be transformed. Our whole selves, our whole person is invited into the kingdom of God. And Jesus made the gospel hit home by teaching and healing and bringing the kingdom of God to bear on people's lives where they are, where they live life, where those memories happen, where their friends and family and neighbors are. And the disciples in the early church did very much the same thing. If we look at Acts 2, it's this picture of some of the early disciples trying to live out their faith. And in Acts 2, verse 46, it says, day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, so yes, they did have a place to congregate, they broke bread at home, or in their homes, and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And so this picture of the early church depicts them in the temple and ministering and praising God and sharing life together in their homes. Now, soon they were out of the temple. They were no longer welcome in the temple or the synagogues. And that was what the early church was. It was a bunch of house churches. People, groups of people who would meet in people's homes and praise and worship and learn and grow and serve where people were. So that's where Jesus did ministry. That's how Jesus made his gospel hit home, by going into people's homes and teaching and doing ministry there. Now for the caveat. And a caveat is just kind of a little rabbit trail that I'm intentionally going on this morning. And my caveat this morning is about the church and the physical, and how the church relates to our physical lives, our physical world. And this is a big discussion that I'm just going to kind of distill into one little issue. But I think that the church has made some crucial theological and practical missteps or errors as we have tried to figure out how the church and the physical relate to one another. And I'm not claiming that I have it all figured out, but I think a couple of these errors can keep the gospel from really hitting home in our lives and in our communities. The first error that I think the church has often made, kind of subconsciously, is restricting the church to a physical place. Close your eyes for a moment. I'm going to say a few words. I want you to picture them. Carrot. Family. River. Church. Open your eyes. Now, how many of you, your first thought when I said church was a physical place, a building, or the sanctuary? Okay, most of us, at least. And it's really hard to do that experiment on yourself when you know what's coming, but I'm pretty confident that I would have done the same thing. I would have pictured, you know, the sanctuary. I would have pictured the outside of the church building. It's just one of those ways that we associate church with a physical, one physical place. Now, thumbs up or thumbs down? Like I said, we did this with the, like Kathy said, we did this with the VBS people this week. Thumbs up or thumbs down? I'm going to say a statement. Thumbs up if it's true, thumbs down if it's false. The church is God's house. Thumbs up or down? The church is God's house. Okay, we have some mixed reviews. Mixed reviews. Some thumbs up, some thumbs down. I'm going to say that in itself, that statement is true. The church is God's house. Now, second statement. Thumbs sideways. This building is the church. Thumbs up and thumbs down. I'm going to say that one is thumbs down. Because in the scriptures, and we looked at this back in the fall, because I know you all remember all my sermons on Ephesians from back in the fall. And we had this image of saying how God is building up his temple, a place where he is dwelling. He was building up this house, but the house wasn't made of bricks, it was made of us. All of his disciples are becoming that house. And so the church is physical, but it's not a building. It's physical as much as we are physical people. And so if I say that this building is where I worship, is where I learn spiritual things, is where I grow spiritually, there can become a disconnect between our faith and our real lives when we restrict the church to this building. That's the first error, is restricting the church to one physical place. But maybe paradoxically, the second error is that we have often disregarded the importance of physical place on our lives, on our faith. Okay, so that may seem like contradictory. But let me clarify. At the same time that we overemphasize the importance of one physical place, we underemphasize the way our physical lives and our physical places affect us and affect our spiritual growth. Place matters. Just ask any prisoner who's been kept in solitary confinement in a very small cell by himself or herself, and ask them whether their physical location affected them mentally and emotionally and spiritually. Our physical place, and some of you are fanning yourselves this morning, yeah, our physical environment does affect us spiritually. It changes how we think and how we live. We are physical beings with physical needs, and the physical realities of our lives affect us. And so we can know intellectually that the church is not about this building. The church is not this building. We can know intellectually that the gospel affects every part, or is meant to affect every part of our lives. But if this building is where 90% of our spiritual lives happen, 90% of our learning and our growing and our serving happen in this building, we're kind of sending ourselves mixed messages. Because we learn through words that are taught, but we also learn through our environment and the way our physical realities affect us. So we're sending ourselves mixed messages if we do most or all of our spiritual activity in this building. To illustrate the point, I'll tell you a little bit of my story. For about the past 8.5 years, about 8.5 years ago is when I feel like God really came and took hold of my life. And since then, daily Bible reading and prayer and study and meditation have been a pretty regular part of my life. Now, not every day for the last 8.5 years. I've gone through stretches like almost all of you where I say, yes, I'm going to do this, and then I go stretches where I don't, and it's on and off. But for 8.5 years, that's been a part of my life. And where I normally do that is in my room or in my house. I'll wake up early in the morning, and I'll get my Bible, and I'll get my notebook, and I'll go and sit on the couch or some other chair in the room, and I'll read, and I'll pray, and I'll write a little bit. But what I've found over the last 8.5 years of doing that is if I only do that, if I only do it in that one physical place, it affects my spiritual life. Because if I'm just doing it by myself all the time, in this place, sometimes I'm training myself to see my faith as just about myself. What is God doing for me? What is God doing here? And then I can close my Bible and go on, and there's a disconnect between that time and the rest of my day. So what I found really helpful doing over the past 8.5 years is every so often or regularly taking that time and doing it somewhere else. Doing it in a restaurant or a diner or a coffee shop. And what that does is it helps me to remember. It makes that time different. It makes me remember that as I read about love and grace and all this stuff, that it affects real people. The people who are around me and serving me at the restaurant or sitting next to me and having a conversation. That it reminds me that that faith affects them. Or if I do it with Lauren at the same time as her, or with Leah right there, it reminds me that this faith is affecting them. And it's supposed to affect my whole life. When I was substitute teaching, sometimes I would do it at the school during one of my off periods. And I would read there, and it would remind me that it affects my work life too. It affects this community and how I treat other people around here. That physical place affects us. It trains us. And so it's important that we don't restrict the church and our spiritual activity to one physical place. I think that's why Jesus took the gospel to the synagogues and to the temple, but also into homes, into the marketplace, to the boats and the wilderness. Because he was teaching us physically, not just verbally. He could have just told them, yeah, go out there, do this. The kingdom of God affects your whole lives. But he didn't just tell them that. He taught them that physically. So that's the end of my caveat on the church and the physical and how those things relate. Third is a thought experiment. The thought experiment is I want you to ask yourselves, what if we had to close this building? What if we had to close this building? Now, if you're on some of our boards, that thought experiment might have been more real in recent times, okay? But just imagine, what if we had to close this building? What would happen? Just think of that for a moment to yourself. Would we all say our goodbyes and find other churches? We'd go our separate ways, do our separate things? I think that's what happens to a lot of churches. When they can't pay the bills anymore, when they close down the building, everyone goes their separate ways. The community is just done. They go and join other communities. I think that shows, and there might be reasons for that, but I think in general that shows an overemphasis on the building, that first misstep, by associating the church with a building, one physical place. Now, I'm not saying if we lost this building, whether it's because of money or whether it's because of a fire or I don't know what, it wouldn't be sad. It would be sad. Many of you have poured in sweat and time and energy into making this building what it is. Many of you have cleaned and cared for this building. Many of you have great memories here. It would be sad if this building were gone for many reasons. But I think it would also, in this thought experiment, forces us to ask the question, what makes a community? What is it that really makes a Christian community? And I think the answer to that question is found in the very term itself, Christian community, Christ. That Christ is here, that Jesus is at the center of who we are, shaping our community. Then community is two parts, com, which means with, and unity, which means one. One with each other. We are at one. We are together with Christ and with one another. That is the essence of Christian community, at the very heart of it. It's a three-stranded relationship between Jesus and me and other people. And that is what our community is. Let's look at it a different way. Is the building the table or the tablecloth? Now, I was going to do that great tablecloth trick for you today, but I was just too nervous. I was going to have things splattering over and glass breaking, so I'm not going to do it. But I want you to picture that little trick that people do, okay, where they pull the tablecloth out and the dishes stay the same. Is our building the table or is it the tablecloth? If we took it away, if it's the table, and we take the table away and we're resting on the table, we all fall down and we disperse and go our separate ways, right? But what happens if it's the tablecloth? And we tear the tablecloth away. All that does is reveal what we were really resting on. Yes, this building is a place where we gather. It's a great resource to serve. It's a great resource for feed my sheep and things like that to use. But are we really resting? Is it the building that keeps us together, that keeps us standing upright? Or is it our relationships? If we pulled away that tablecloth of a building, would we see that we are really rooted in relationships with each other and relationships with Jesus? That's the question I think we have to ask. What is our community built on? And it's easy to say that the building is not what's holding us together, but does our practice reflect that? Do we see our community going out into the community together and being built on other foundations, gathering together in other places besides this one building? In the fall, as I've said a number of times, and I'll probably say a number of times again, we're going to be beginning our small group ministry. One other thing that's going to change in the fall is recess. And recess was our Wednesday night gathering where we would gather for a meal and do a little Bible study and discussion. And in the fall, that's going to shift. It's not going to be every week. We're only going to do recess type thing during Advent and during Lent, just gathering together. And it's not because I don't like recess or I don't think recess is a good thing. Recess is a wonderful idea. It gets us together in a smaller group. We have a meal together. We share time together. We study together. We talk. But I think that every Christian community needs the gospel to hit home in a physical way. Just like Jesus took his gospel and his teaching everywhere, we need that to happen for us. And small groups help the gospel to hit home by taking our discipleship, our spiritual growth, our ministry, our relationships into our homes. It's physical and it's spiritual. That the very same couches and chairs that we're sitting on are the couches that our family and our friends and our neighbors sit on when they come over to visit. The tables we gather around are the tables that we all gather around with our friends and our neighbors and our families. It brings the gospel home in a different way. We are going into our neighborhoods where we are called to live out the gospel. And as you sit in that house or on that porch or wherever the small group is meeting, you can look around yourself and see all these people that we are called to love and serve and offer grace to and share this good news with. It will be a physical lesson. Beyond all the things that we may learn and talk about in small groups, there is that physical lesson that the gospel and the church is not just this building. It's in our neighborhoods. It's where we are. So it may seem trivial, like we're just moving our spiritual things from here to there. But I think it's more than that. Jesus took his disciples into nature, into people's homes, into their own homes, into the streets, and into the religious places. And I think that doing this, having small group ministry meet in homes, in the places where we are, is one more step in having the gospel hit home for us, physically and spiritually. And it's one more way of telling others that God isn't just inviting them into a building. God is knocking on their door, asking to be let in, and waiting to sit around their table with them, speaking good news and grace and truth to their family where they are. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for coming here where we are. Thank you for not restricting yourself to the heavenly realms, but coming to our home on this earth to live with us, to die for us, to be resurrected and give us a new hope. Lord, I pray that as we pursue what it means to be your church and your community, that you would help us to have the gospel hit home in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in the marketplace, wherever we are. I pray that the gospel would permeate every piece and portion and area of our lives. And I pray that the world would see that your grace is for them and not just for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.